Greetings and welcome to worship with us at Southridge Church. My name is Pastor Tim Wilkins, and I'm glad that you've joined us today. Today we're trying something that's a little bit new for our congregation. We're going to be using Facebook Live to broadcast our service today. And I would encourage, if you're joining us and you're a part of this live event, that you chat with each other in our comment section and say hello and greet each other and have a little bit of social interaction, even if it is over social media rather than face-to-face. Before we begin worship today, I'm going to show you a clip of our organist, Eric Johnson, who will be playing our brand new organ that's recently been installed in our worship space. And so I'll see you in just a bit. Now, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I've carried a burden for too long on my own. I wasn't created to bear it alone. I hear your invitation to let it all go. I see it now, I'm laying it down. I know that I need you. I'm brought to the Father, full into grace. I'm done with condition, had a plan from the start. Your son for redemption, the price for my heart. I don't have a context for that kind of love. I don't understand, I can't comprehend. All I know is I need you. I'm brought to the Father, full into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend. So I run to the Father.
God's grace and peace are yours through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word for our meditation today comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, the final verses, beginning at verse 35. That day, when evening came, he, meaning Jesus, said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." This is the gospel. As things in our world and economy begin to slowly reopen, chances are that you're probably in the same position that I am in with my family. We're starting to think about what are the things that we want to do now that it's going to be summer and life is going to slowly return to some sense of normal. And one of the things that we've been talking about doing is camping. That's something that we love to do as a family. In fact, that's something that I've loved my entire life from my childhood on, because camping, I believe, is something that is a part, at least a natural part, of childhood. It's something that is the perfect place and scenario for any child. You're outdoors, you're playing in nature, there's perhaps less supervision than normal, you get to play all day, you get to get as dirty as you want. If you're of an appropriate age, you can play with fire to a certain extent. Camping is just something that cannot be beat for a child. Except for one thing. At least that was the case for me. One thing I hated about camping, and that was bedtime. Going to sleep at the same time as my parents. This is something I couldn't really wrap my mind around. Normally, at home, you go to sleep and your parents would still be awake. They'd be in the living room watching TV. They'd be cleaning around the house. Maybe they'd be in their own bedroom, but you could see that there was a light on. You could hear noises every once in a while. You knew that your parents were awake and you could go to sleep, trusting that somebody else was kind of keeping guard. But camping, all bets were off. Mom and Dad were going to bed and turning off that lantern at the same time as you were going to bed. And it seemed ridiculous to me. How can you possibly do this? How can you go to sleep when the only thing that's standing between us and the wild animals or us and some dangerous person is a zipper? Why are you going to sleep when I need you? I wonder if that's perhaps a similar thought or feeling that the disciples had with Jesus in this account of chapter 4. They're on a boat in the middle of a storm, and the question that they have in their mind and on their lips is perhaps one that we've also thought of Jesus. Why does Jesus sleep during our storms? Well, I suppose if we've ever had that question, there's a real simple answer of it. Why was Jesus sleeping during their storm on the Sea of Galilee? The answer was, he was tired. I mean, this is something that we can lose sight of with Jesus very easily, especially because we proudly and happily confess him to be the Son of God. What we forget about him is that he was human. He took on our human flesh, and so he got tired. If you read earlier in Mark chapter 4, you'd hear about what had happened in that day. Jesus had been preaching and teaching and preaching and teaching and preaching and teaching to large crowds of people, people that were coming out in such large crowds that they were pushing him up against the shore. Perhaps you've been in a position like that where you've been overwhelmed by being with crowds of people. Not recently, probably, but you know how that can wear a person out. And so the day's coming to a close, and Jesus says, let's go to the other side, and they hop on a boat. He's with professional fishermen, people who have been on these waters probably countless times in their lives. He's in good hands. So he finds a cushion, and he falls asleep. Trouble is that a storm comes up. And while storms were not something that likely were uncommon on the Sea of Galilee, this one seems to be special because it got all of these disciples riled up. The wind is blowing, the waves are crashing onto the boat is taking on water, they're afraid that it's going to go under, and so their instinct is good. They go to Jesus. But their words are not words of trust, they're words of accusation. Don't you care, they say. Don't you care, Jesus, if we drown? Mark writes in such a way today, on that boat with those disciples and Jesus, and to be a part of that storm. And I suppose it's not that hard for us, because we've been there before, haven't we? Not on that boat, but perhaps on a similar one. You know, from the first time that we set sail on the seas of life to our most recent storm. Or perhaps one of those first encounters with the storm of this life was as a child, at night, in our bedrooms. We were afraid of the dark, or we heard some loud noise. We didn't know where it came from. And then all the way up to the most recent storms of our lives, when it's now things that to us are more serious. Failing bodies, crumbling relationships. And from that first storm to the most recent storm, and everything in between, they shake us. They can shake us. And hopefully, our instinct is good. We run to Jesus, and perhaps we knock in prayer. Jesus, I just want to let you know about something going on in my life. Just had an appointment with a doctor, just found out some kind of disconcerting news. Got this going on in my life, or there's this that I just found out with my brother, or my daughter, or my mother. Just want you to be aware. If you can help us out, please do. Amen. We pray that prayer. And so often in life, we hear nothing back. Jesus is sleeping. No answer, no response. And now things get more serious. And now the news that we heard from the doctor is starting to get confirmed. And the things that are going on in the lives of our loved ones become far more concerning, far more dangerous. And we run back to Jesus and we're pounding harder. Jesus, we need you. Help us. The things that we're worried about are becoming very real and very dangerous. We need your help right now, Lord. Help us. And still nothing. And so we go back about our lives and we forget about that request. But now the wind and the waves are crashing down on us and we're afraid that we're going to drown. Our world gets shut down. Our economy stops. Our loved ones are losing jobs. We're not sure when we're going to be able to go back to real life. And all the other problems and all the other anxieties in our life, are just weighing down on us, and now we're not knocking, we're shouting. Jesus, don't you care? Why are you sleeping when I need you, when I need your help? And so often, as soon as those words have bounced off of our lips, or we're just even at the tip of our tongue, just like in Mark chapter 4, Jesus gets up. And he says in his powerful but calm and assuring voice, "Quiet. Be still." And the storms in our lives go completely calm. And we're not even always surprised by it because it happens so often that maybe everything doesn't return completely to normal, but the concerns and the fears and the worry that we had just seem to kind of go away and fade into the rest of our lives. And everything in our lives would be great if it weren't for this gaping hole, this nagging flaw in our spiritual character, the one that Jesus exposes with his question to the disciples that might as well be asked of us. Why are you so afraid? Do you still, after all this time, after all these years, do you still have no faith? And boy, he's right, isn't he? The storms that come and go in our lives so often expose that in us. That we don't trust the way that we should. That when the rubber meets the road, we expose ourselves as having flimsy, if any, faith in the God in whom we profess to believe and trust in. So what do we do? When that becomes our realization, that we don't trust the way that we should, the way that we think we could. Well, I can tell you what we shouldn't do. And that is sit and dwell on ourselves and our inability to trust. We need to take our eyes off of ourselves and put them back on our slumbering Savior. And revisit that question that we often ask. Because it's a good question if we go to God for the answer. The question we ask is, why does Jesus sleep through storms? I suppose an answer could be this. That's what he came to this earth to do. The Son of God left equality with God and became human, like us. He became like us so that he could be a part of this world and be a part of our struggles, and he could live like we do, except without our flaws. So, in the middle of a storm, where everybody else would be waking up and freaking out, what does Jesus do? He sleeps. He trusts that his heavenly Father is in control. He trusts that whatever God is going to bring about in his life is going to be okay because it's brought about by his good and loving heavenly Father. And so he sleeps. And so here is this great comfort for us, for all the times that you and I lie awake at night and we cannot turn off our brain because we're worried about this thing and that thing and the other thing. For all the times that we cannot get rest because we think that we're in control and we need to figure out all of the problems in this world. Jesus sleeps. He doesn't try to figure it out. He doesn't try to control it. He just closes his eyes and gets some well-deserved rest. And here's what our God says to us. He says that every situation in this life, or in Jesus' life, where Jesus is perfect, where he does what he is called to do, what he is asked to do by God, the same things that we're asked to do by God, where Jesus is perfect, it is not simply meant to be like an example. Now go and do this in your life. Where Jesus is perfect, God says, you and I are now perfect. That's the benefit that we have of believers in Christ. That where Jesus is perfect, God sees us that way. So where you and I are lying awake at night, where you and I are panicking and anxious, God doesn't see that when he looks at us. He gives us the credit of his son sleeping on that boat, and he looks at us as people perfectly trusting in him. Why does Jesus sleep during storms? I suppose another answer we could say is he had power over them. You know, if you were afraid of the dark, it would give you comfort that you know that you could walk over to a light switch, flip it on, and then it would be light. You know, that's what every problem is in this world for Jesus. That Jesus can just walk up, flip a switch, and the problems go away. He can say to the wind, quiet. He can say to the waves, be still, and everything will go calm. And that is true of everything in this life. Jesus was able to sleep through that storm because he wasn't simply a human being that was trusting his heavenly Father. That was true God there. The God that had created the wind and the waves. He knew that there was nothing that could harm him because he had control and power over it all. And that is something that he says about our lives. Not that we have power and control, but that he has power and control over all things in our lives. And whether it is a child who is afraid of the dark at night, or it is someone who is struggling with cancer or some other disease or pain, he knows that at any moment, if he wants and knows that it is best, he can walk over, flip a switch, and that thing will be completely out of your life. And so he is not freaking out every time that we call for help, because he knows that he has the power to fix it when he knows it is best. I told you before that one of the things that I loved about my childhood was camping. What I hated was going to sleep at night because my parents would go to sleep. Well, all that changed on this one trip that I took with my dad and a couple of other members from the church that we belonged to at that time, to a place in Canada, Ontario, Red Lake. And one night, I woke up around 3 o'clock in the morning to find my dad not sleeping at all. He was screaming. There was a rather large black bear about 10 feet outside of our tent. And he and this other member from our church who were camping outside were screaming, trying to get this bear to go away. And I realized in that moment that a sleeping parent is a lot better than a screaming parent. A screaming parent is afraid. A sleeping parent is one that knows that everything is okay. And so from then on, I began to realize that when my parents would close their eyes to go to sleep, it didn't mean that there was something to worry about. It meant they knew everything was okay. That's why they were willing to close their eyes and go to sleep. And so I realized that I, as their child, could close my eyes and get some sleep too. And how much truer isn't that of our Heavenly Father and our Savior Jesus? That when he is not freaking out every time we pray to him, asking for help, every time we pray to him, that he doesn't just run down and say, Tim, what's wrong? What's going on? How can I help you? Is not a reason for us to say, well, Jesus is sleeping. He doesn't care. It's a reason for us to think everything must be under control and I can trust his loving plan and go about my life. You know, the truth is that now that our Savior has died and risen from the dead and ascended into heaven where he is ruling all things, he doesn't ever sleep anymore. In fact, there's a psalm that says that about our God. It says he never slumbers nor sleeps. He's watching over our coming and going now and forevermore. We have that assurance that any time we pray to our God, he hears us. And before we even pray, he sees us and he sees what's going on. Now, chances are that each of us in some way is perhaps going through some storm right now in our lives. If not, we can definitely see the storm clouds in the horizon. But just because Jesus doesn't step down here every time you want his help, don't think it's because he ignores you. It's because he has everything under his control. Don't just focus on the storm cloud that's ahead or the one that's overhead. But turn around in your life and look back at all the storm clouds of your life that while you were facing them, you were terrified, but now God has brought you through them. And he has calmed them all. And he has been calm through them all. Why does Jesus sleep through storms? I suppose if we wanted to just give a simple answer, we could say this. Jesus slept through his storm. So now you and I, in faith, we can get some sleep during ours. Amen. And may his peace, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through faith in him. Receive with believing hearts the blessing of our God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot you have taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part but the whole, is nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul.
Thank you again for worshiping with us today. I would like to share with you that we are expecting that our congregation is going to have occupancy of this brand new building come this week. That could change, but that is our expectation as of today. And as leaders of the congregation, we are monitoring the kinds of directives and guidelines that are coming out from local, state, and federal governments. And it is our goal to be able to get you back into public worship and into this brand new building as soon as is possible. But we want to make sure that we're doing that in a way that is legal and godly, and also taking into consideration what kind of impression we're going to be making to our members and in our community as we do that. Please bear with us as we continue to try to navigate these very unusual and unprecedented waters, but know that we're all in this together. I ask you to stick around for just a moment as we're going to show now a clip of an interview that I had this week with Faith and Connor Fauché, two of our young members. I'm here with Connor and Faith.
Hello.
Hi.
And I'm always worried about pronouncing your last name. And I'm going to say Fauché.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, Connor, how old are you? What are you doing in life? Sorry, I interrupted you. 20 what?
I'm 20 years old, and currently I withdrew from my college, and I am waiting to be shipped out for the Marine Corps.
So tell us again, where were you going?
I was going to Eastern Washington University.
And it just wasn't right for you?
The whole Corona thing gave me a little perspective on life, and it's something I always wanted to do. And so I said, might as well do it now, I guess. I don't know. Corona gave me some motivation.
You said, I'm out of college. I'm going to the Marines.
Pretty much.
And mom and dad are thumbs up, thumbs down.
Supportive.
Okay. So outwardly supportive, inwardly terrified.
Yeah, I'm sure.
No, that's really cool that you're doing that. And we definitely wish you God's blessings, but a lot of good luck as you do that. How do you feel about that, Faith?
I mean, I feel pretty good. I'm also very supportive of this decision. And I kind of agree with what he said. I think he's always kind of wanted to do this, but never really thought about it and until the pandemic came and he was kind of shown that choice.
Okay. So tell us about yourself. You're younger.
So I'm 19. I'm 18 still. Almost going to be 19. And I'm a student at Boise State University. Just finished my first year.
So what does that mean that you finished?
So basically we went, obviously like everything else, we went on online, we went remote. I moved back home mid-March. Okay. And I finished up my finals in all of my classes the first week of May, May 5th. And so I've just been kind of relaxing and chilling until harvest starts.
And then you're getting to work.
Yeah, both of us are now.
So did that make your school year easier to end, being able to come home, or was it challenging?
It was both for certain classes, obviously, but overall it was definitely challenging. The environment, I can't really focus as well in my home, that, you know, that kind of space. And I couldn't go anywhere. You know, I couldn't go to a library. I couldn't go to a quiet spot like that. And time zone kicked my butt. Okay. Yeah. With the Zoom meetings, I kept missing so many classes because I kept forgetting that Boise was an hour ahead. So
good thing you weren't at University of Hawaii or something like that.
There was a girl in one of my classes who lives in Hawaii, and she had to keep coming on super like 5 a.m. just to catch the 9 a.m. Zoom meeting.
So Boise State didn't say just automatic A's for everybody?
No. Unfortunately, they did offer a pass or fail option, and you could choose however many classes you wanted to do that with. So that was kind of nice, but no, sadly, no automatic A's.
Okay. So that was your first year there?
Yeah, that was the first year.
And you're hoping to go back in fall, but you don't know what that's going to look like currently,
or do you?
Yeah, so I actually just got an email. Boise State is planning on going back where they're going to do a lot more hybrid classes, you know, less in person as much as they can, but it's supposed to go back in the fall. So fingers crossed.
All of Idaho seems to be less restrictive than Washington State is at the moment.
Yeah, totally. So, it's kind of a different world right now.
Okay. So are they concerned about people from like other states coming in?
Yeah, I don't really know what they're planning on doing with that. Honestly, just the email that I received, it was pretty much just saying, hey, we're going to start online or start school as normal on the normal date. I think they're going to try to do some in person, not as much. I'm guessing smaller classes can do in person. And then we're actually going to go remote after Thanksgiving break for the last 3 weeks of the semester to avoid that spike.
So what has been the hardest for you guys during the shutdown? You said it hasn't impacted you a whole lot, but has there been anything that's been challenging?
I think mine is just, I think like anyone, the social change, you know, not being able to go and do as many of the things that you would want to do, you know, hang out with friends. That's been very different. Like having to adjust that a little bit. Instead of going to their house, we go on walks or, you know, that kind of deal. I think that's been the weirdest for me, at least.
I think
it's killed your dating life, Faith.
There is none, but I'm sure if there was, it would be hard.
Well, it's hard to get one started then.
Oh yeah, not a good time probably to start it either. That'll be a very like
it's a
virtual
tough time for dating.
Yeah, virtual relationship.
I think the hardest thing for me is acclimating to always hanging out with my younger step siblings. There's definitely a maturity gap there, and it's taken some time to get used to. But I'm finally getting used to it. You know, they're not getting on my nerves as bad. So,
well,
and
you'll
not be my half friends.
You'll be as mature as them pretty soon.
Yeah, hopefully someday. But right now, it's not looking like I'll be there anytime soon. Minus Reagan. Reagan's more mature than me for sure.
So. Yeah, Reagan's.
Reagan's the golden child.
What are you enjoying most about the shutdown?
I personally kind of going with the family thing. Obviously, my dad and that other family lives in Spokane, so I've been able to kind of go back and forth a lot more than I probably would have been able to. Which has been really nice. And I don't know, more time to do things, probably, you know, hobbies, things that I wouldn't have been able to do or had the time to do, you know, because I kind of have an excuse.
I would say the most positive thing about the shutdown is being able to focus on the things that actually matter in life.
What are the things that are truly important in life?
Family, God, work. For me at least, but I don't know. It's the little things, you know, like waking up with your family, enjoying a nice sunset with your family, like everyone just hanging out, laughter and stuff. I don't know. It kind of removes a lot of the crap you hear in the world right now because everyone's kind of focused on like just saving lives.
To like tag on to that, it was kind of a cool, I call them cool Jesus moments. I was studying Isaiah before coming home, and it obviously, as you probably know, it talks about earthly possessions and how they're not important, and I really noticed that just during all of this, they, like Connor was saying, those possessions have kind of been ripped away, that control has kind of been ripped away, it's not in our hands even more, you know, than usual, and so it definitely does kind of give you...
It makes you realize how much God is in control.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool that you guys have seen that. Yeah. So what is your worship life been like? Like, describe, do you guys worship as a family on Sunday? What does that look like?
So normally, the whole family will get together when Harold decides. And well, either, sometimes it's been pretty cool because we'll do it in different locations. Like, we did it at a waterfall. We did it at our campfire a lot. We have like a little fire area where we go sit around in chairs. We do it in the morning, have a little brunch or something. And then sometimes we just do it in the house, but it's been cool. It's been a different dynamic, but I definitely miss like going to church.
Yeah.
What do you guys do? Just read some scriptures, sing some songs, or do you use the stuff that our church is putting out right now?
Yeah, we just listen to the video that you guys put out right now.
Okay. Cool. So are we gonna hear a solo from you anytime soon on one of those? We had one in the past.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly, now that I have more time, I can probably shoot something out.
More time. She has more time now.
I'll probably be able to do something soon.
Whenever your pastor starts organizing something with you?
Yes, whenever you text me. Okay.
So what has surprised you most about this?
Just everything, like the shutdown, the moving home from school, because for, you know, 2 months, it was kind of just up in the air, like, oh, it won't come here. We aren't going to be affected by it. And literally, it was like a week when I was at school where we heard a rumor that it was, you know, obviously it came into Washington and whatever. And it took like 5 days and it was like, boom, you need to go home now. You need like.
That was a huge thing too, is the college is closing. Like all the schools closing. That was like. Because it's like my sister was saying, like, it started out as such a little rumor, and then within like a week and a half they were like, hey, we're suspending classes, everyone's going home. Right. And I think that's when it started to set in that like this was kind of real. So I guess that was surprising.
Yeah,
that everything closed down, you know.
Mm-hmm. Became a reality really quick.
Well, none of us like this at all. I wonder if it isn't been a little bit of a good experience for us to go through about just exactly what you're saying about things just suddenly changing. We talk about that so much, like with, you know, someday our life's going to be over, or someday Jesus is going to come back. You know, how quickly something like that is going to happen, or the loved ones that we have that are, they're just going to die. And sometimes you have advanced warning. Sometimes just there's a car accident or something like that. It's a good reminder about how quickly life can just completely change.
Exactly.
And if you're not living every day for today and kind of ordering your life, you can certainly get swept over in all of it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's been cool, too. I think you've probably noticed it as well, Pastor, but I personally have noticed a lot of unbelievers start questioning things. You know what I mean? They're starting to ponder that. Some people publicly have questioned it and all, and I think it's cool that this is also kind of bringing people closer to Christ.
So like Connor says, I'm thinking now about different things I've thought about doing with my life or really appreciating my family. Some people are, I've been ignoring God. You know, this big question that we all have to deal with. Now I'm kind of forced to deal with it. Yeah. And how cool is it, even though we can't gather for public worship, that there's so much of God's word that's going out right now from so many different churches that before, you know, we're just meeting in closed doors that, right, of course, are open to the public. But God's word is going out in a way that I don't think it has previously.
Yeah. It's kind of cool. Super. It's cool how it's adapted.
What are you guys looking forward to most about life returning to some sense of normal?
I think the most exciting thing about going back to normal life is how different of an outlook I'm going to have on it when that time comes. Because I'm going to be doing normal things that I thought were normal, like maybe going for a walk or something, and I feel like I'm going to appreciate that a lot more once I'm out of like a lockdown.
Sure.
So
the things that we take, or at least took for granted, the appreciation that'll be there for a while.
We'll
get to the point where we start taking it for granted again.
We'll get over it.
Yeah, it'll move on at some point.
No, but that is. I think it is. We always sometimes wonder, why does God allow this to happen? Why does He allow that to happen? And sometimes it's really good for us to lose or go through hard times so that we're reminded to appreciate what we have when we have it.
That's all we have for you today. Have a blessed week. Lord willing, we'll see you again soon.